Baker, and Coach David Thorpe. How are you, sir?
Gerard, it's the holiday season.
It is.
And we're about to talk about basketball.
You're doing great.
And I get to see both of my children, our children, in like an hour and 20 minutes. As soon as we're done here, I'm driving to meet them at a pizza place. My son got up like at 7 this morning to get here. They had a game against Notre Dame late last night. He is driving this morning. He left first thing with his cousins who went to the game, and I'm taking them all to get pizza. Yeah, I can't wait.
Well, anybody who knows, if there's one thing Coach Thorpe loves more than basketball, his family, and when he gets to see them. And, you know, he's very good about, like, his children are adults now and they have their own lives. But, oh, when it comes down from the – oh, no, they're kids now. When he gets they're going to be kids now when he gets to see them.
And all the cousins will be there. Of course, my wife has to work. We'll be together. And the four of us are doing a team dinner tonight. I don't know if the weather's going to cooperate. We're supposed to go to the beach and sit outside. It may be rainy. But we'll find a way. We're going to have some fun. We barely get them. My daughter goes to an internship on Christmas morning at 7. I think it's 7 her flight is, and my son flies out at 6 a.m. the next day back to work at Tallahassee. Yeah. So, whatever. I'm in good spirits right now, I tell you that.
You're going to find the joy where you can. Yeah, all right. This is an interesting time of year, and this will be related to basketball because it's the early signing period in college football. So high school students declare where they're going for next year, right? Where they're going to play, et cetera. And, you know, that whole pageantry is turned into a pageant, right? It used to be back in the day, you just send your letter in, whatever, you fax, you call, and it's over, right? Now we have television shows and hats and all these different things. And I know that you have thoughts about that and how it impacts our guys in the NBA.
Yeah. And well, speaking as a dad as well, you're exactly right, Gerard. My first player signing for a college team was 1988. Scores of my guys have signed over the years, you know, high school coach, trainer, whatever, just helping out people. I'm very worried, and I have been worried that we're setting a lot of these players up for failure. I've said before many times, human nature is that when we have success, we tend to relax. And we make such a big deal over some percentage of these players who will actually be good college football players, forget about pros, that we give these families and these players a false sense of security. Now, it's a little bit different for the first time. Some of these kids are millionaires now, or will be, because I talked to one agent yesterday, because these players can have NIL agents. Mm-hmm.
And which we're okay with, by the way. We're okay with them
getting fantastic. He's got $1 million deal to go to school for 4 years. And that's just the first deal. He can get more once he's successful. So great. But as Larry David did, let's curb your enthusiasm a little bit here. Let's let's make sure these guys haven't accomplished anything but dominate teenagers. It's a very different world, college sports. And I think we're setting them up, so many of them, for failure because it's so hard. It's just so hard. And same as our sport. I remember hearing about all the limo rides Sebastian Telfair went on. And I've always wondered, what if he grew up in a very different environment? Might he have been an all-star? Because he was just an okay NBA player. Maybe not even that. I worry about that all the time. And as a dad, I could tell you, the last thing I would want is for my kids to feel like the best thing they ever got to do was when they were something done before they were, 25, 30, 40, 50 years old. I mean, appreciate it when you got it. Mm-hmm. But as Shane Battier once said, I probably said this on the show once, when asked what kind of car he got his first car, it wasn't anything fancy. And he said, I don't want the best car I ever drive to be my first car. And I'm not guaranteed any more contracts after this. I've always counseled my players to think similarly. I think that's the right way to go. So I just worry. I mean, a lot of these guys, everyone's celebrating today, you'll never hear from. They'll never make an important play, much less have a great season. And plenty of other kids who you're not excited about now, if you're a fan of college football, which I'm not, are going to be great players and NFL players and everything else. So that human nature part of it is a concern to me.
Well, sport is like life, right? There's levels. It isn't just, oh my God, I made, honor roll, whatever, and I got into the college of my choice. Forget about sports. If you're just a regular person who's not an athlete, right? Yeah. Okay, that's step one, right? Like, all things being equal and your life is long, you got many more things down the road, right? Celebrate in the moment and then the work continues, right? That's really what you're saying. The work continues. Same thing when you get to be, all right, I'm a college athlete. No guarantee, to your point, you're going to dominate. The work continues. Hey, you're lucky enough to get drafted. Oh my God. Amazing accomplishment. Celebrate. The work continues.
That's right.
Right? Like, it's just, it never ends. That's life. Like, you just keep working.
Yeah. I took my daughter to lunch the other day, and she's now made president's list twice what I would call a pretty rigorous schedule, plus her work and her sorority. She's very busy. I told her, who cares? No one cares. Really, nobody cares. Because so many other people are doing as well as you or much better. Your 3.8 is great, or whatever, 3.75. There's plenty of 4.0s in college at tougher colleges than yours. Just work and work. Be thankful. We're happy. It means you're doing something right. But you can't coast now because you had a really good first semester of your junior year. No, you got to keep pushing. This is the game. Mm-hmm. And for these athletes, like, not only are you fighting everyone in their class to who want to get better than you, you're ranked higher than them now, let's say. Mm-hmm. All the other players still in college want to kill you, beat your brains in. Here comes the class the next year and the next year and the next year. This is the vicious cycle we're always in. And so to me, the process needs to be more about less parades and more daily grind with moments of celebration. We always want to celebrate good times. I'm a big believer. No matter who you beat in a game, I used to make my team in the locker room, we clap it up. Like, we're never going to take winning for granted. Now let's sober up and recognize where we messed up at. What do we have to get better to beat the best teams? Because that wasn't good enough, maybe. So, yeah, it's just, like I said, as a dad, I'm always alarmed at these gigantic stories. And I understand why the players feel so privileged and entitled.
They worked hard. They worked hard.
And everyone is treating them like they just, you know, won a marathon to win $100 million. Come on. Like, it's harder than that. No, there's a marathon run tomorrow, too. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. That's why I think a lot of our NBA guys, LeBron's a separate thing. But even with LeBron, nothing's easy. Nothing's easy. The other team's trying to devise a plan to beat you. And so you have to have that edge about you. And that's what I worry about. It's hard to have an edge when you're just being treated like royalty and you haven't done anything but beat a bunch of high school kids.
You know, this is a perfect segue. As I said, the work continues. Last night in the NBA, Pascal Siakam had his career high, 52 points, the most by a Toronto Raptor player in Madison Square Garden, I believe. You know, he was excellent. And, you know, David doesn't often talk about this, but I will share this. David did spend some time with Pascal over the summer, with him, working with him. And, you know, I know as a coach that made you feel good, but like not in the way that people probably think. Like, it's like what I always say about the athletes that I coach in swimming on race day. I'm like, of course I knew you were going to do that time. What's what we did all the last 6 months. Like, what? Yes, this is, that part's not the surprise, right? But I am happy for you that the actual accomplishment came. But I know you were thrilled to see Pascal do well last night in a game, by the way, the Raptors needed, because they were on a 4-game losing streak, right? They needed a win bad. Second night of a back-to-back for the Knicks, but the Knicks, I mean, they almost won that game, right? So it was a really good performance.
Yeah, Pascal's really, he's an interesting story. He's picked up basketball late. He even, mm-hmm. Talked about it afterwards. He said, I picked up the game late, and I didn't even live in America, but I know how important MSG is in our basketball culture. I thought that was cool for him to say that. He's a unique situation because just as he was kind of coming into his prime after the Kawhi year, COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And he made an All-NBA third team. COVID hit. He lost a bunch of weight, all that kind of stuff. The team spent a year in Tampa. Last year he was, I think it was second team All-NBA a couple years ago, third team last year. Mm-hmm. And then he made his announcement, I want to be an MVP level player. And I think the team is oriented more towards him. So whether it was something that I've done with him, something Nick Nurse has done, a lot of just hard work from him, it was great to see a player who's 28, 850. He's still ascending. I think that's a really important thing that we always have to remember. I was watching Domantas Sabonis the last mm-hmm. couple games. Everyone kind of just knew he had hit a ceiling. No, he's still a young guy.
Yeah,
like these guys are so competitive and so driven. They're going to keep working. And in Pascal's case, as I said to him to his face, like, you didn't realize you were Kevin Durant because you didn't come from America. But had you started playing basketball at 10 years of age in New York or DC or some basketball, Indiana, so like, dude, you're Kevin Durant. I'm not saying you're as good as Durant because he doesn't shoot like that, but he's slinky guard like at 6'10" and super long. It's almost unfair. I was watching highlights. We're going to talk later about tired legs. Mm-hmm. That dude doesn't have tired legs. I saw him running circles around the Knicks, who are a very tough team.
Oh, my God.
Physically tough. Mm-hmm. I also don't think it's a surprise that he did it against a team like New York that they're pretty stubborn. They're not going to – they waited to the fourth quarter to really try to take him away. He already had 40-something at that point after three. Like, he could have had 60 last night. That's Thibodeau. That's just like, we're not going to change. Every night there are players who are pushing the envelope because they're working and working and working. And I'll say one last thing. This is something anyone could see. It was public knowledge. Toronto has not been playing well at all. And Scotty Barnes really been struggling. Pascal was asked a couple games ago. So before they lost their last game and then beat the Knicks, he was asked about it. And he just had a great answer of, like, we're not pointing fingers. The answer is in the locker room. We've got to figure this out together. He gave a very inclusive comment, and you know that there are times when players, especially everyone wants Pascal Siakam right now. Mm-hmm. There are players who have kind of pointed fingers. Hey, I'm an all NBA level player. Right. Hey, my fault.
Right.
He did not do that. I think he's Cameroonian. I think that's factors in. They speak more languages there than any country in the mm-hmm. world. Mm-hmm. They're incredibly diverse. They're incredibly thoughtful in how they go about things as a culture anyway. And so it's nice to see that a guy who's thinking about team was able to say, okay, guys, jump on my back this time. I don't know if I can do it again. You know, teams are all going to start doubling him early or whatever. But for one night, it was nice to see him have such a great game.
No, it was an excellent game. And, you know, as I said, the bag grew over the summer, right? Tools got sharpened. He knows when to employ certain things now, right? And I think the thing interesting you said, him picking basketball up late, I wonder because of that, will that make, quote unquote, his prime be in later years than someone who may have played basketball when they were 8 years old up until now?
It's something I've talked about with his agents and in general just about players. I think the answer is yes, he's still ascending at 28, but Nick Nurse might beat that prime right out of him. He played 40-some odd minutes last night.
So health still matters.
Mm-hmm. Right. I worry about that for some of these teams that seem to be playing. I mean, the AD with Darvin Ham, like, mm-hmm. you know, we shouldn't. We're going to talk about our Christmas games in a minute. Like, we're not going to be seeing all the superstars. Mm-mm. And that's a concern of mine for Pascal and for anyone, you know?
Yeah, no. I mean, look, this is a drum that everyone knows listens to True Hoop.
Yeah.
We've been beating for years. The schedule is just not forgiving, right? It just isn't. You know, it seems like, I mean, and again, we're just covering the league, whatever. I mean, yes, we have games every night, but if let's say you're following a team, it's every other night there's a game, right? I mean, 5 and 7 nights. I mean, yeah, the NBA say we're cutting down on it, but honestly, looking at the schedule, coach, I'm like, I don't see that much cutting down, right? Like, and even if you're off, you're on a cross-country flight, or right? So how off are you on that, right? It's just, it's a lot. And ultimately, we want to see these guys play their best. And in order for that to happen, we need rest and recovery. But you know, the schedule is what it is. And until they switch it, that's kind of where we are. One of the things also that's contributing in many ways, I think, to, I'm not going to say the increased injury rate, but the increased load on a player's body is what David and NBA coaches call the impossible sink, right? And that's defenses and this dilemma you have. Do I guard against the three, which every team is worried about now, right? Maybe 8 years ago, I mean, we knew about it, but it wasn't. But the advent of the volume of threes now, it makes coaches panic. Okay, but if I sell out to stop the three, that means my paint's wide open. I'm giving up dunks. I don't want to do that either. David always says that playing defense is like blackjack. You can't stop everything, so you got to decide what is it, right? And that tax not only mentally on a player when a screen's coming, shit, who am I staying attached to? Am I supposed to sag in here? That plus the physical toll of racing down into the paint. And then if you're someone who has to also run out to cover the line, that's something that I always say to people, watch 80s basketball. The game is played within the size of a postage stamp, right? Yeah. Really easy to play defense when it's all clogged up and ain't nobody moving around. I got to race to 30 and back inside of the rim. That's a toll on my body as well. But talk about the mental anguish defenders are in when they are forced with the impossible sink conundrum.
Yeah, so that was Coach made a comment to me the other day. We were talking about how the Utah Jazz like to play Kessler, who's a really terrific rookie. Wow, is he fun to watch. They put him in the corner. He's a shot blocker. He's basically the American Rudy Gobert. He really is. He's got, I don't know if he'll be as good as Rudy, but he's in that mold. And he doesn't shoot threes, and yet he gets a lot of dunks because they'll run actions where they get he's alone in one side of the floor, and the some kind of driver to the rim, and the player that should be responsible for helping Kessler's man, because Kessler's man, let's say in one eclipse I have Bobby Portis from the Bucks, slides over to take Kelly Olynyk, driving to the rim on the right side. Kessler's in the left corner. The man closest to Bobby Portis should be helping the guy he's guarding, which is Walker Kessler. But if his man's lifting up for three or just spotting up and he's really good, he doesn't want to leave that three-point shooter. And now Kessler has an uncontested dunk. So you're supposed to sink down. Some people call it a crackback. There's lots of names for it. And one friend of mine told me, his assistant said to him, oh, it's the impossible sink. Like, it's impossible to sink when you're so worried about three-point shooting. Yeah, this is a real challenge. But to your point, though, as it relates to fatigue and everything, we've got so much space to have to guard fast. Like, you can't get there slowly. These guys have quick triggers and deep ranges. And so, and I didn't even write about this. This is part two coming. You got to trust. If my man hits the three because I sunk down, am I going to get killed on social media? Mm-hmm. Is my coach mm-hmm. going to have my back? Mm-hmm. Is the GM going to have my back? You know, if I help on the drive and now my guy gets the dunk, it's Bobby Portis, gives up the dunk to Walker Kessler, am I going to get beat up on social media? What does it look like on metrics? Like, all the metrics we follow, they're not factoring that in. Mm-hmm. If you're the nearest guy to a guy that's the dunks, it's going to have some kind of negative score
on you,
on your defensive right. rating.
Even though that might have been your assignment.
No, you might have been doing the right thing. Right. So I'll write about this coming forward, but that's a big part of defense is everyone do your job and just do your job. The problem is, A, how do you trust that? I'm telling you, Terod, I have told NBA centers this season, fuck those guards. They keep getting roasted at the point of attack because they don't give a fuck. You're helping, and your man keeps getting lob dunks or tip dunks because not only are those guards getting roasted, but they're supposed to peel off. If you help them, they're already running in that direction towards the rim. They're supposed to peel off and help you with your big. They don't do it. Mm-hmm. The weak side guy isn't coming over because he doesn't want to give up a three, and now you're left high and dry. You can't win that. So to me, take away the number one scoring chance, which in many cases the lob to the guy that can jump. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That should be the goal. That's why it's like blackjack. You got to play the odds.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of chess going on because the Chris Pauls of the world know, they know what you know, what they know, you know, mm-hmm. the kind of thing, you know, mm-hmm. and it's a back and forth. It's pressure. Like I told you, I've had players text me at halftime. What am I supposed to do? Cause they're not getting their coaches typically aren't telling them. Some aren't. It's a challenge, which is why the reason why I wrote this is if your team is giving up some three or four a game and getting none, someone should be talking to the coach about that.
Yeah.
Because anyone can run impossible sink plays. Some just choose not to do it very much. And that's a mistake. They should be because they'll get layups and dunks out of it.
You know, it's so interesting that you say that and you mentioned Chris Paul. And so much of what you're talking about is something you always refer to, which is processing speed, right? Chris Paul, LeBron, the Masters, they got it, right? Because they have all the reference points. Rookies, it doesn't happen for a lot of them that quick. Now, some of your elite rookies have come into the league being a little bit better.
Smarter rookies, we'll see.
Right? Yeah. But for the most part, they just don't process. And it's not a intelligence thing. It's just that some people's brains can handle information at a much more rapid pace than others. That's just the thing.
And experience, like I watched James Wiseman last night. He had 30.
Yeah.
In 27 minutes, it was a non-competitive game.
Correct. I was at that game.
He wouldn't have scored 30. Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I should have known that. He wouldn't have scored 30 against a team of dogs and children.
Right. Yeah.
If it was played at NBA speed.
Right.
2 years ago. Mm-hmm. The game is slowing down for him. He still has a ways to go.
Yeah.
But it's slowing down for him, and he's starting to get his identity back a little bit. Because in the G League, he dunks on everyone all the time. Like, what do you think of him last night?
So it's so funny you mentioned that. So a large part of him doing that was the Nets are small inside, right? Yeah. So when he got on the floor, I mean, the tallest person often was Durant, right? And it's like, which and Durant's a fine defender. Yeah. And actually, one on one, like I think Durant actually did fine, which sure, did well on him. So
they have no problem guarding.
You know, so it was fine. But he was able to feast on when they got switches, and it's like, oh well, this little 6 foot Patty Mills or whoever, that ain't a problem. I got this. What I did notice was his processing speed on defense. A couple times, I noticed when Kirk called the timeout, maybe it wasn't Curry, it was Kenny Atkinson, like yelled in his direction. I knew they were mad because he didn't go out. He didn't read the play fast enough. And I saw it and I was like, okay, if I saw it like half a second after you saw it, I know that's slow because I don't process fast because I don't play NBA basketball, right?
Right.
So I thought there were a couple moments there where it was just, he still has that to work on.
That's his biggest problem is on the defensive side of the court.
Yeah. Is knowing when to do what. And to your point in your article, okay, this guy's a 38% shooter. That's why players always talk about know your personnel, right? All right, if it's a 33% dude I'm attached to,
I'm not rushing.
I'm playing the odds. Leave him, go do, right? But you have to do know that quickly in the moment. And I feel like often it's a lot for some people.
Yeah, you know, on processing speed, for anyone listening, go to YouTube and watch Pacers, Celtics, and Halliburton made some really, really great where if he passed, a lot of people think processing speed is about how quickly you do something, but sometimes it's about, no, just the opposite. It's recognizing something quickly and letting it develop.
Mm-hmm.
So Halliburton had one in particular, no look transition pass for a dunk or a layup where had he thrown it a second earlier, it wouldn't have been there, but he let it play out and then boom, it was there. And even the announcer, Quinn Buckner, saw it. He's not always right with what he sees, but he was right on this one. Let it play, and he did. So, yeah, that's just experience. That's just knowing, okay, I've made this pass early before. Nothing good happened. I need to hold on a second more and let it develop. And they learn to use their eyes. Mm-hmm. So the guard coming down the floor looks to the right to my three-point shooter, hoping to get the guy at the basket, creeping out to contest the shooter. Here comes the lead post right behind him for the dunk. Yeah. You can kind of look guys off. So that's all part of it. Yeah.
The last thing I'll say on David's Impossible Sync article, and everybody should read it, is for the defensive side of it, this is where trust and connectivity matters, right? Like you have to know that your teammate has your back. And not only that, has their assignment, what they're supposed to do. Jock called a timeout early in that game because they messed up on an assignment. And Kevin said after the game, he's like, I kind of like when he does that. When he's like, yo, we just went over this and shoot around. When this happens, this is what you're supposed to do. Right. Got it. Okay. And trust that you're going to trail. You're going to, whatever it is that you are assigned to do, you got to do. Now, if the coach decides, all right, we've seen that 5 times in a row and it ain't working for us, and we're going to, then we'll switch it up. But whatever the plan is, lock and commit. And I think oftentimes you see guys not committed, and that's probably because of trust and a lot of other various factors that cause issues defensively.
If you want to watch a non-committed defender, watch Dennis Schroeder and LaMelo Ball. They are not interested in getting bloody. They are not interested in digging in. Schroeder, I mean, both of them drive me crazy with how uninvested they are on that end. Now, LaMelo is just a brilliant offensive player. Schroeder is okay. He's fine. He's quick. LaMelo is a much better offensive player. He's a much better passer to begin with, but they are not committed. And I think Steve Clifford has even said some things. Darvin Ham won't. At least not publicly because he's LeBron AD are there. But the guys in Charlotte aren't worried. You know, there's no all-NBA player there right now to piss off. And he's talking about how we just don't care about defense. No, you don't. No, you don't. Yeah, you got to be committed. You got to be willing to get dirty a little bit, a little bloody. You got to be willing to get your face smashed in a little bit.
Look, everyone knows this. In every sport, defense sucks. Like, yeah, we know that. It's when as a kid growing up, defensive time drills and whatever, you're like, oh, defense. Like, everyone loves offense. Offense is fun. That's the fun part of the game. But if you want to win, that is half the game, as Henry often points out. You got to know what you're doing and do and play on that side of the ball. It's funny we're talking about the Nets game that I was at last night, lopsided score. The Pacers, Celtics game was lopsided for a while till
Celtics came back. 30, yeah, 30 in the game, yeah.
Milwaukee, Cleveland was also lopsided for a bit until Milwaukee came back late. Cleveland still won the game. We'll get to them later in top five. I wonder, because coaches, you players talk to you all the time. At this time of the year, we're about a third of the way through the season. A player's starting to be like, oh man, my legs are starting to get a little heavy now. I'm starting to feel a little fatigue, right? Where it's just about every other night. And is it kind of like, oh God, for those of them who are lucky, who don't get to play on Christmas, please get me to Christmas so I get 2 days off so I can rest. What do you think about this time of year and players starting to get a little heavy in the legs?
I think the heavy legged part, it happens more frequently, not just now, based on what you were saying earlier, 5 games in 7 nights kind of thing. I think you're right in your assessment, but not about the legs. It's about the head. I think that if you really watch the game the way I have to watch it, you'll see players, especially big men, who are just moving more weight, right? Mm-hmm. They are just committed to racing or running, because if they don't, bad things are going to happen because they're protecting the rim. I'm talking about defense, offense to defense. When they don't commit, it's a bad thing. And so you could just see they may want to take a break. They missed a shot inside. They feel like they got fouled. They want to compare to the refs. But they know if they don't get back, something terrible is going to happen. And so they just commit to running the same way your swimmers have to get up every morning and commit to swimming. You just have to do it. And so the schedule weighs them down a little bit and wears them down. And players, not just big men, will take plays off and take moments off and quarters off. The Celtics took almost a half off last night. I watched the game. And we're settling in the third quarter, but down 30 against a competent team with Halliburton's an All-NBA player now. Mm-hmm. And he almost single-handedly lost the game because he took some crazy shit, but he definitely was the hero of the game. He was terrific. And don't get me started on the Wally Szczerbiak. I don't understand what he was talking about.
Well, Wally's paid by the Knicks. He's on MSG Network and he's paid by the Knicks. So he's going to just, whatever. Yeah.
There's no other way to see Halliburton as an all-star player. They have a winning, they're 500 even now. So you're right. I think that guys can always get heavy legged based on the schedule for the week. But I think mentally, this is the one of the two times we'll see. The other ones are in mid-February, where all the players who don't play on Christmas Day, which is the majority of the league, not a huge majority, not a super majority. What is there, 5 games?
5, yeah.
Yeah, so 10 teams. 20 teams get to be off. There's a little bit of a breath of fresh air, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, of course. So, and probably not even doing anything on those days. Yeah, so that's even good. Or maybe they'll practice Christmas Eve morning a little bit.
Right. Or if they have to travel off. because they're away on the 26th or whatever.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I think that you have to be mentally locked in and clear. I just, there are games that teams just aren't, and you can tell. And then they can flick the switch on eventually. Good things happen. They say, hey, we're in this game. And then it gets a competitive game. But meanwhile, you lost it in the first 7 minutes of the game when you were down 20 without trying.
I mean, this 82-game grind, it is particularly when you're a certain age, right? Like when you're in your prime 30-plus year, like you cannot play hard all 82. It's just not physically possible. You're either going to break physically or you're going to be broken by the time the playoffs start and have nothing in the tank to do anything come postseason, right? This is something that, again, as much as Adam's done a great job as commissioner, like this is something that he and the owners really need to really look at. Yes, it's the money. I understand that. But again, smart people work in this league. Figure this shit out. Like, there's a reason why the best soccer leagues in the world don't play a million games. Like, it's just not physically feasible. The amount of running around, you cannot do it. Like, it's just not possible. And we need to take some care when we're talking about our best athletes here.
I want to throw one other thing out here too, to your point on what you're seeing. Young players are different. Their bodies are younger to begin with. They're worried about their mom and their dad and their siblings, but family men, we're Jewish. So we had Hanukkah, but we celebrated Christmas with my wife's family. Still do. We call it Grinchmas now. Everyone gives gag gifts to each other. It's kind of a funny thing. The kids all do it, but they're all adults now. But it's a fun time to be a dad, I would guess, when your kids are young, especially when you have money, especially when you didn't have money growing up. If like most of our players, like most of us, we didn't have anything growing up. And so the look on your kid's face and your wife's face when you get them whatever it is you're getting them is a big deal. They want to be present for that. They don't just want to have their secretary, of which they don't have, or their wife buy all the things. They want to be part of it. There's a lot going on. They also want to see their mom and their dad and their siblings and whatever. They're human beings. So in the business world, I mean, I can tell you this, 3 weeks ago when I was talking business, it was always, okay, we'll deal with this after the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not going to get anything done in December.
Right.
Well, these guys don't have that option.
Right.
They've got to play and hopefully play well. So I just think that this is another example of them being human beings.
Yeah. Something interesting I saw on Twitter. So Tatum had missed the game on Sunday against the Magic. And I believe the reason he missed it was because it was Deuce's fifth birthday. And he was with his son for his fifth birthday. And I know as a dad, you love something like that. That's just great. And it's like, look, we need to normalize that, right? It's fine. It's one game out of 82. Like, it's fine. They lost the game, but let's be real. Celtics should be able to beat the Magic without Jason Tatum, right? Like, they didn't lose because he wasn't there. They lost because they didn't play well.
But even beyond whether they lost or not, as someone who has advocated that before, I actually think we should televise. Every local channel should televise. Sit around a room with your team and, all right, guys, get your calendars out. Mm-hmm. Mark down the dates you have to miss because it's your anniversary. Obviously, you can't publicize that. Anniversary, right. Kid's birthday, parents, mm-hmm. mom and dad, whatever. Mom and dad getting the 50th anniversary, whatever mm-hmm. it is. Tell us those dates. We'll get to decide whether or not you definitely can take it off. If it turns out half our team all had something the on same the same day,
right.
Well, we can't do it. Seniority right. matters now.
Mm-hmm.
But let's all chime in. No one's going to schedule more than 70 games or whatever the number is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking 12 games off or 15 games off, right? And then, obviously, injuries will factor in. Well, you're supposed mm-hmm. to be today off, and yet we have five guys injured. We're going to ask you to play. So don't mm-hmm. book a trip to the Bahamas.
Right.
But we just, it's going to be a staycation for you on this day. I don't even mm-hmm. care if you come to the gym, although I think it's cool when they do. I like when players are there for their teammates. I think that's important. But, as soon as the game's over, don't go dip out and take out your wife for their anniversary, whatever. I think that's a better way to do it. I really do. And you're not just taking the game off, but you're giving someone else an opportunity.
Correct.
It's always, we're watching this at the Lakers right now. Thomas Bryant's playing very well. We talked about it on the show. Someone I know very well. But everyone's acting as if they have no backup because he was never really playing. When he was playing great, but it wasn't enough to matter. Well, all of a sudden he puts together threes in a row, 17, 18, 21, whatever, on a very efficient shooting the three very well. And all of a sudden they have a legit player. Oh, well, play his ass. Well, you get to know him more if you set your players more that were your best players. And maybe if you didn't play AD as much as you have, Darvin, you would have already mm-hmm. known mm-hmm. that Thomas can really play. And AD would still be playing on Christmas Day, which I would love to see, but I'm not going to see it. He won't be playing.
No, that makes perfect sense. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're back. We're going to break down our Christmas games. Stay tuned. This episode of True Hoop is brought to you by BetterHelp. Hey, guys, Gerard from True Hoop here. If you had an extra hour in your day, what would you do? It's a hell of a question. Would you maybe go for a run, take a nap, read a book, or maybe show up for a friend? Now, depending on the day, any one of those would be a great idea. Most of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. But the question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Now, I've been open in the past with you guys about this. I see a personal therapist as well as a couples therapist for my partner and I. And both are extremely helpful in developing positive coping skills and learning how to set boundaries. Therapy empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/TrueHoop today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/TrueHoop. Okay, David, it is not yet, but soon to be Christmas Day. That is fun times in the NBA. This has been going on since I can remember watching the NBA. It's just, for casual fans, this is like the unofficial start of the NBA season. But I always joke, we're about a third of the way through by now, friends. I don't know where you've been, but basketball has been happening. But this is a day where the big stars play. Everybody gets excited. And, you get to see the players in their Christmas version of their exclusive sneakers, all these cool things.
Oh,
and hopefully
really?
Some good basketball. Yeah, yeah. They get their player exclusives will be often in Christmas colors. Like they'll have like the Grinch version, right? Or like something, whatever. And it's cool.
I had no idea. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It's always fun. And of course, you're on the marquee stage on Christmas, so you also want to play well, right? That's also a big thing. We have five games, so we're going to discuss them in order of most intriguing.
And David doesn't know. Don't tell me your list yet, because I had asked Gerard. Let's talk about what are the most intriguing games, and then also compare them to like what we had thought 2 months ago, because I think things have really changed. So are we going to start with least or most intriguing first?
Most first.
Okay, so I know what I think it is. I want to hear what you think it is.
I mean, it's Bucks Celtics.
Oh, not to me.
No, interesting. Okay.
No, you're not way off. That's on the higher list.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on the higher list. But okay, let's talk Bucks Celtics.
So Bucks Celtics, mainly because of the top two teams record-wise in the Eastern Conference. Yeah. This is an Eastern Conference Final potential preview if things go well. But you know, we're in December. Shit can change in a month. And who knows who's going to be where or doing what. I think beginning of the season with the Ime Udoka thing, I was for one lying. I don't know if this is going to work out, guys. I'm a little nervous about this team. They might start losing a bunch in a row. They came out like gangbusters. I think that Ime thing kind of fortified them. Like, no, we can't come out looking like shit. We're going to come out looking strong. And they have. Now, the last week or so, they've been a little wobbly.
No, right? not a little wobbly. They've been tagged.
Lost to like, Orlando, which they shouldn't have. Lost to, and you said, didn't even start playing until the third quarter against Indiana last night. Like,
no, I think they've lost four straight.
Yeah, they've been looking a little funky lately. But, you know, as I always say, Tatum and Brown, when you got those two wings, like that matters. On that stage against Milwaukee, who is playing well, what are they going to do? On the Milwaukee side, they're starting to get their guys back. Connaughton's back. Middleton's been in and out. I think they're managing the injury.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, Brook Lopez has been playing well. Giannis is an MVP candidate like he is every year. Drew Holiday. I mean, they look like a really good team. They're getting good minutes from Grayson Allen, from Bobby Portis. Like, this looks like a complete roster and a very complete basketball team. Again, we're in December. I don't know what's going to happen by April, but right now they look really good. So I'm intrigued to see that matchup from just those two teams, both relatively healthy. Robert Williams is back for Boston. So I want to see what that looks like if they play for real.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I only was down on a little bit because I watched Boston last night and they were horrid. The fans were booing.
I heard that.
Don't even get me started on that. You say you cheer for us when we're playing great. Right,
well, yes, and we.
And you, I mean, what? Yeah, I like what Jerry Seinfeld said in one of his shows. He said, "You boo puppets." I completely agree with that. I don't understand. You're not a fan. We're here to entertain you and just to score. And listen, if we don't do a good job, you know, I'm not an actor in a bad movie. The other guys are trying to beat us. You know,
grown adults going to an arena to heckle other grown adults is never not silly to me. But whatever.
Yeah. It really bothers me. But and Marcus Smart did not play last night. And considering how well Tyrese played, that certainly could have made a difference with his defensive ability. It's very much likely a preview of the Eastern Conference Finals. No guarantee. No, but it could very well be the case, of course. And Tatum was terrific in the second half last night. He is as unguardable. He's at a point now where, like a lot of guys, unless you build a wall, he doesn't even have to have a plan. He's going to just figure it out on the fly going to the rim. He'll score. He'll maybe dunk, lay it up, scoop, whatever, get fouled. If you build a wall, that's different, but that normally comes in the postseason. He's just at another level. His shot is so good. It's going to be, I don't know what time that game is, but I'm going to watch it. It's going to be a good game.
That is the third game. So that's the 5 o'clock tip. I want to say, it's about five. Okay. Yeah.
That's good.
Exciting. Looking forward to that one. All right. That was my most intriguing. My number two on the list for me, Philadelphia, New York.
That was my number one.
Even the Knicks lost last night.
Now. Yeah, it's all right.
They were the hottest team in the league, so they're 9-1 in their last 10 or 8-2, whatever it is. Philly also playing well.
Really well.
You know, I think these are two of the more physical teams defensively. So I was joking to somebody. This might be like all you who love 80s and 90s knock down, drag out. You might see this in this game, right? You might see some of that in this game, but. And it's Philly, New York. You know how these two cities feel about one another. So you have that element to it as well.
And you got at least four lefties.
Yes.
Because you got the next Harden three guys. Plus the three for the Knicks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That'll be fun. No, I think this is, when we get to our top five later, we'll talk about whether or not this is a top five matchup. Yeah. I think, and it's just, you know, the Knicks are surging.
Yes.
To lose to a guy like Siakam's no big deal. It happens. I agree with you. Philly, we said this on the show. I wasn't worried about them. I just have not been worried about Philly in quite a while. Embiid is just so spectacular a player.
So good.
They've got a lot of depth. And Maxey, I've not looked at his stats recently if he's ticked it up a notch, but there's still that upside. Back yet. Right, he's not even playing. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, give it. That team is going to be. I have them winning the East regular season. I'm not backing off that.
Milwaukee and Boston haven't run away with it. I mean, you know,
no, how many
only
wins
three losses
have?
Separate Milwaukee from Philly? So
right, I still think at the end of the day, Philly's gonna. I have Milwaukee winning the East in the playoffs. Not that it matters now. Who knows what these teams look like? But that's what I had going into the season. Philly regular season, Milwaukee making it to the finals, and I think the Knicks. I'm glad to see Jalen Brunson show he can, you know, run a team. They have a lot of his identity, but Julius Randle to me has been, and RJ Barrett. They've all kind of found their way of impacting games productively and efficiently, and it's great to see. And Grimes has helped quickly. Yeah. It's really improved. They have some depth now. You can see good management starting to turn this team around. Yeah.
The trio that you mentioned are working well in Brunson, Barrett, and Randle, and they're all three are bought in defensively, and that's key for Randle.
Yeah.
The Knicks are seventh in adjusted defensive rating, and I think that is legit. The 76ers are third. That's elite level defense that both these teams are playing. And on the Knicks side, we're not seeing old dudes. Derrick Rose ain't in the lineup. Evan Fournier. No, none of those guys. So Tibbs is actually playing the young kids, right? Grimes, Quickly, Jericho. Like a lot of those guys are playing, and
Tibbs
they're playing
tough. Yeah.
They're playing well, yeah. Right? So I think it'll be interesting, the big man matchup, what they do with the center position against Embiid, who's a monster. Philly offensively 20th ranked. That's a little troubling. Now without Maxey, we'll see what they do there. But beginning of the season, I don't know that any of us thought this was going to be a great matchup. And now we're like, oh, look at this. This is a good one.
Right. Milwaukee-Boston we knew would be great. This one, I would have said, eh. Yeah. But now I think it's the best match of the day.
All right. Third matchup of the day for me, and it's the last one of the night, is the Phoenix Suns at Denver Nuggets.
I agree.
Look, Phoenix, and I'm sure you saw the video of Monty and DeAndre going back and forth.
No, I didn't see it.
Okay. So their last game or two games ago in the huddle, you know, the usual things you see. Look, I'm one of those people who that kind of stuff happens a lot.
What happened? Like more,
they were in the timeout, and you know, Monty's either drawing up something or whatever, and DeAndre's pointing demonstrably at someone on the team, and Monty gets up and he's like pointing back at DeAndre. So I don't know what they were discussing. Ooh. And they didn't, of course, they didn't say what it was they talked about in the media. All they said was, look, this stuff happens, like, you know, you're passionate during games. And that is, there's an element of truth to that, right? You're trying to win a game and guys are heated and they want to do well and they're not. But why this is important is because those two have a history, right? Like something happened last postseason in this regard. He didn't get his money until super late. And there's all this fissuring and fracturing around that once mighty cohesive units. That's something that bears watching. Even still, their net ratings and their numbers still look good offensively and defensively.
Is Booker playing?
Booker is playing.
In that game, he'll play.
Mm-hmm. And the Nuggets, look, Michael Porter Jr. has been out. Murray's working his way back up. But the old metronome, Nikola Jokic, still playing like an MVP, right? And they are tied with the Grizzlies for the number one spot in the Western Conference. They still stink defensively. That hasn't gotten better.
No.
But they can still score a ton of points. And of course you can with Jokic, right? So to me, that's interesting because beginning of the season, I was like, healthy Denver, this team could win the West, right? And agreed. Phoenix had been the best team in the West the last 2 years. Yeah. So it's just interesting how, again, it doesn't take long for fortunes to change in this league.
No, these teams are trying to win the West. Both of them have a real chance to do it. You would think Denver is going to find a way to defend better. I mean, they're playing for a lot. Sometimes defense starts with just belief. Like, what am I doing? Why am I killing myself? Well, they have a reason. Like, they have the best player in the world, and in my opinion. And a real chance to do something. So let's guard with our lives. They're not doing that, at least that I've seen so far.
No,
so
they are not.
Could always start at some point. And yeah, the Phoenix thing. I like how you put it. There's a history there, and you know, Draymond Green and Steve Kerr had a history, and they managed through it in part because they were successful. Mm-hmm. Had they lost all those finals games, maybe it would have worked out. Probably not. So Phoenix hasn't turned that corner. And let's just see. And also, DeAndre Ayton's not as good as Draymond Green was.
Correct.
You know? And Monty Williams may not be as good as Steve Kerr. We'll see. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it bears watching. I'm glad Booker's back because he hadn't been playing.
Yeah.
So that'll help.
Number four, Grizzlies versus Golden State. Look. Golden State's going to be without Steph, obviously. But Clay and everybody and Jordan Poole and Draymond and the rest of that crew will be there. Memphis, this is an interesting one because obviously they played in the playoffs last year, conference semis. It went six.
Good game, good series.
Morant missed the last three games in the series
because he was injured. Good series.
And that was an excellent series. And these teams have a little bit of a chirping social media back and forth history as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. During the regular season last year, Jaren Jackson Jr. tweeted out because Ja was out and the team kept winning and guys went out of the lineup. He tweeted out strength in numbers. Now, anyone who knows that is the Warriors mantra forever, strength in numbers.
I did not know
that. After they won the series, Klay Thompson was like, and some idiot on the Grizzlies tweeted out strength in numbers. That's our motto, whatever. And of course they won. Okay, the whole nine. Warriors win the championship. Ja Morant's like, yeah, we'll see you guys on Christmas back at the crib. And Draymond's like, nope. Like, you don't know anything about championships, young fella. The champion plays at home on Christmas night, right? So they have a little.
Wow.
And the Grizzlies, I know for not just from what's been said publicly from people down there, the players, they don't fear the Warriors like that. Like, they have full belief that if we were healthy last year, they think they could have beaten the Warriors. And so I'm excited for this matchup. Of course, I love the Grizzlies. But Dylan Brooks said something interesting the other day. Oh, Steph's not playing.
Doesn't he always?
Oh, doesn't he always? Steph's not playing. That's a shame. I guess Klay Thompson's going to have to find out what kind of defense I could play. I was like, this guy, he just, that's just his MO. And to your point about defense and how most people hate that side of the floor, this dude loves that shit. And I'm like, man, you got to be a certain kind of psycho to want to go at and like try to lock up the other team's best guy, right? Your brain has to be a different kind because most people are like, I want no part of that shit. But this guy, yeah. Whoever it is, Katie, I don't care. Give them to me.
Man, it's amazing what I don't know on Twitter. This is I had no idea it was a feud like that. It stinks for Golden State. I watched them in Brooklyn, as you were there. Just not competitive at all.
Nope.
Dante, I don't know when DiVincenzo, he had been out.
So he and Jermichael Green have like non-COVID illness. So the flu, I think, is running around in there. They don't play again until Sunday. Christmas is the next game they play. By Sunday, so those guys could be back.
Yeah. So that would help a little bit. They just beat, a really good team the other night.
Well, they beat Toronto. That was their one win on this road trip.
Right.
Got blown out by the Knicks and the Nets.
Right. So I will say this though. Young players, they don't fear the Warriors, but none of those guys fear anyone.
They really
don't. It's very much, it's not just the Grizzlies. It's
a young person thing.
Yeah, it's funny how that is. I may have told you this before, but an agent told me he was having lunch. I think I said this recently. I'm not going to say who the player was yet. I probably will when I might write about it. He was having lunch with this very mild-mannered client who was in the combine. He was playing in the combine. And he was having lunch with them, and all these players are passing him and where the team's players eat. And he said, this very sweet, mild-mannered guy was just motherfucking everybody. That motherfucker sucks. He's trash. And he was so surprised. And he told me, and I said, well, what do you expect? They're all fighting for the same scraps. You know, there's only 60 spots to get drafted. And he said, but still, I've had players drafted before. I've never heard that. I said, yeah, but they think that. Now, they're also quick to respect.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
If you deserve it. Yeah, especially after the draft is over. Now you have mad respect. But, listen, you don't have to fear the Warriors to get your ass kicked by them.
No.
Klay Thompson's a lot of things. Soft isn't one of them.
Nope.
He can be a little vengeful.
Sure.
He's not been playing well this year. Understandably so with all he's gone through. But it would be not surprising
if you had a
Klay
good game
to hang 10 threes on them in the game and remind young Mr. Brooks, like, all right, here's my resume. What's your name again? Don Draper. Did you ever watch Mad Men?
Yeah.
You know, when Draper's in the elevator and the guy they let go and he says, he talks shit to Draper. He's like, I don't know who you are. Yeah. Like, I'm not sure Klay Thompson even knows who Dylan Brooks is. And I mean that. Yeah.
It'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to this game. I want to see how Memphis responds. They, I thought this was going to be interesting for them because they're no longer the hunter, right? They're kind of the hunted this year.
For sure.
And they've responded well. Like they're, you know, top of the Western Conference. Yeah. So I'm, you know, I think they're one of the top teams in the league, and we'll talk about that in top five. All right, the game with the least intrigue to me. LeBron and some dudes versus Luka and some dudes. Okay, that's kind of disrespectful. No, you got Dinwiddie and Christian Wood and some other good guys, and they're good guys. But it's, right, I mean, that's what the casual fan's going to see. LeBron and some guys and Luka and some guys.
AD obviously is out.
Right.
I think AD is out for the year. This is not medical.
Really?
This is not reporting. It is
just your gut feeling.
In my gut, I mean, literally, I know nothing other than I heard the Lakers announcer say last night that they still have, I didn't realize they haven't announced yet what his injury is. So my increasingly cynical mind started thinking
that they're hiding something.
If we announce he's out for the year, what does that mean on the trade front for us? So because then we'll be seen more desperate. So I think he's got a stress fracture in his foot. Again, I know nothing. But when you aren't releasing it, that to me, alarm bell is ringing. Something's really wrong. But anyway, he's not playing this game.
No.
And I think if it's amazingly enough, maybe ironic, Russell Westbrook has gone from hotsy Nazi to hotsy Totsy. He's, to quote Seinfeld, he's good again.
Yeah.
He's really good in the second unit. I'm so tired of the Dennis Schroeder defense, as I've said before. Russell East is competing somewhat there.
Right.
None of the Lakers guys at the guard position are guarding anyone.
Yeah.
They can get away with it. AD is so magnificent defensively. So he makes up for it. But if Russell played, they could beat Dallas.
Yeah.
Yeah, with LeBron's playing amazing. Lonnie Walker, Thomas Bryant. Austin Reeves has been out also. I don't know if he's back or not, but if they get Reeves and Russell back and only are missing AD, the Lakers are a formidable team. And Dallas is, they're fine. They're average.
They've had some poor game luck. They're 16-16, right?
Like right. Their net margin is good.
Their net margin is good. They're basically top 10 in offense, defense.
Top 10,
ninth
that's
in
right.
offense, 11th in defense. Like, right. so they're fine. They're having some bad end of game luck lately. And I know that Luka and Kidd got tossed from a game recently for coming out of rep. There's one thing about Luka that, and people have said it, play he's complaining at a rep. Literally every play. It's
really?
Like, dude, we get it. We get it. Every single play, he's hollering at a ref about something.
Yeah. He's a very competitive guy. Yeah. Kidd got ejected. I don't love that, how it happened. But it should be a competitive game if Austin and Russell play. It should be Luka's worth the price. I won't be watching as a fan. I'm watching as an analyst.
Right.
But if you're a fan, you're going to see one of the two best of all time, against a guy that has a chance to go down as top five, top 10 all time. Yeah, Luka's that good.
Yeah, no. I mean,
he may not get there, but he's got a chance to be.
He's in the MVP conversation, obviously.
For sure.
I mean,
will be for a long time.
Yeah, he's in that stage of his career now where perennially it's like, he's an MVP candidate, right? Like Giannis and Jokic and these guys. It's just excellent ball. Well, those are the five games. I'm excited, even though there's going to be some stars missing. But still, I think because I feel like so much of Christmas Day is about the casual fan, not the people who are psycho about NBA basketball like we are. Look, a lot of the country who are just casual fans may not know about John Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. and the Memphis Grizzlies. Well, you'll learn about them, right? You may not know about, you know, these other guys on Denver, right? It's like, it's funny. I said this to somebody the other day. Ask the average casual person who's not oblivious to sports, but like a casual, do you ever heard of Giannis Antetokounmpo or Nikola Jokic? I mean, you might get a lot of no's, right? Steph Curry, LeBron. Oh, I know those guys, right? Because they're famous in a way that's like beyond sport, right? They're global famous. But for those of you guys who only know global famous guys, watch these games. You're going to find some other guys who are, those guys are pretty good too. A lot of good
people. If you're listening to our podcast, you're watching the games. Or at least some of them anyway.
Yeah, if you're listening to this podcast, you're up. But maybe your mom or your sister or your brother who doesn't really, you know, they might find out some interesting things. Coach, this is our last episode of 2022. We're in the middle of Hanukkah. What's it, night four tonight? Five?
Night four tonight, yeah.
Okay, night four tonight. So halfway through, we're in the Christmas season. What are your holiday plans? Well, I already know some. Max is coming home today. Yeah. You're going to meet him and his and your cousin and your nephews and nieces for pizza.
Yep.
What else is happening?
So we'll do a team Thorpe dinner tonight. And that's about it. Tomorrow night, I mean, they've got other family to go see. They got to go see my mom, my mother-in-law, cousins and aunts and uncles and all over the place because they're just here so seldomly. And their cousins, my brother's kids and our kids are all the same age. They're all in college together. So the ones that are in town will come in. They'll go to some parties together. My wife and I, it's funny. Once you have twins, you can't wait to get rid of them. Now, you want them to come back later that day, but after 19 years, you're not so rushed to get them back. It's a blessing to have them. We actually like our emptiness when it's empty. So we don't monopolize their time. They'll do their thing. And then we'll go to my sister-in-law who lives very close, her and her husband. We do Grinchmas where the kids all give gifts to each other, but you can mix and match. And I sometimes participate. I think they're trying to do it Christmas Eve because I know I have games to watch Christmas Day. But we're going to be bundling up, Gerard. It's going to be in the 40s here.
What?
So I'll have a fireplace cooking and I'll have the whiskey pouring or whatever I'll be drinking. Yeah, it'll be fine. How about you?
David and his cousin talking about Florida weather. Let 40s, me give you a little preview of what the weekend's going to be like here, my friend. Saturday, Christmas Eve, the high, 19. Means low is going to be 10. Yes. Wow. Christmas Day, 25 is the high, 15 is the low. It'll be frosty this weekend. All right. Christmas Eve brunch at my cousin's. So the family all gather there. We'll do Christmas Eve brunch, have a good time, yada, yada. Come back home. My partner and I, she and I and the dog, we will do our Christmas Eve dinner. We're going to make a bunch of stuff and, you know, have our night.
Yeah.
And then Christmas Day, because we have a trip coming up in January, we're like, all right, let's just make sure everything's all good and copacetic and we're not getting ourselves into any, you know, COVID situations. So
yeah,
we're going to do Christmas breakfast here and make a nice meal. And that'll be it in terms of like extending out because we're going to be away the week after New Year's and we don't want to have anything sort of getting in the way of that.
Will you watch the games Christmas Day?
Oh,
some of them anyway.
Of course. So me and the dog, we're gonna be
same as me.
She's actually gonna see her mother. So like, we'll be. It's funny. I always do this thing on Twitter and Instagram where it's like about a late game, and I'll talk in my dog's voice. I'll be like, Hazel, we're gonna watch Pelicans or whoever the last game, Phoenix and Denver. Oh,
yeah, definitely.
And she's like sleeping on her bed like Z's. Right. Like, oh, dude, I'm past that. We're not watching shit.
Right, I get it. Yeah, it sounds like fun.
It will be a fun time. Looking forward to it. Again, thank you to everybody for always tuning in and appreciating what you guys, your feedback. We're going to bring you more awesome stuff in 2023. But before we go, our last top five of 2022. This list, I think, will be our most divisive ever because I already heard Coach say no for some teams. So I'm like, oh, God, what's happening? All right.
So we're at a point now, Gerard, where what you've done in November, I don't care anymore.
Right.
Right. We're at a point where just like in Boston last year as an example of a team that clearly caught fire and almost won the championship. So I don't really care that you were great in late October, first week of November. What are you doing now? What do you look like now? And then I also consider where you're at for the season.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a three-way tie at 3, 4, 5.
Oh,
I cannot pick.
I'm
going to read them to you. 3, 4, 5. Yeah. I'm going to say this team first. It's going to shock you. But I witnessed. No. I don't think you do. Maybe you do. I witnessed. No, it's not the Knicks.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, I bet it's the Knicks.
No, I kind of foreshadowed that. I didn't make my top five, but I thought about them because you're right. They're the hottest team until last night. Boston was so off last night.
They were.
I mean, they were getting booed. Indiana's a fine team, but you can't be down 30 at home and then make my top three. So I have them at number five, tied with two other teams, which I'll mention later, but they're the first I'll mention at tied. Yeah, tied.
Wow.
3, 4, 5. Yeah,
Coach Thorpe is very punitive when you're doing things like that. That is,
can't lay an egg like that.
No. That is, listen, hey, it's his list. He's allowed to do what he wants. Number five, Denver Nuggets. Look, they're tied for top in the Western Conference. They just beat my Grizzlies, who I have ahead of them, because whatever. But yeah, look, they're playing well. And this is without Murray yet. And MPJ hasn't played since, God, I mean, like November maybe? Like, it's been a while since he's played.
Right, I'm not projecting forwards. I also picked no teams in the West. They can't figure out where they are. I can't figure out where they are. They've got to figure it out first.
I love it.
So my other team tied at 3, 4, 5 are the Milwaukee Bucks, who I'm very happy with. Clearly, they have a great future. They've had some bad losses and some really good wins. They're not to the level of my top two. They're tied with the Boston and the 13. Okay. We'll say in a minute. My top two, I think, are one of them is going to be a surprise, I think.
All right, number four, Bucks. I have the Bucks at fourth.
Yeah. All right, so we're in the same thing. So I have the Sixers tied now. They're Sixers really
ain't in my top five. I'm like,
I really like what they're doing right now. They can still get much better. And so I kind of look at it as if these teams all played in a three-game series, the whole league, these would be the teams I think would be in the winner winning these tournaments. Philly's kind of figured out a little bit of how best we win. And you don't hear about any drama. When's the last time I heard about drama in Philly?
Nothing so far. Yeah, it's been quiet.
I'm giving them some credit. Well, yeah,
they're tied for some love.
Tied for 3, 4, 5 with me.
All right. I dropped the Celtics as well to third just because of, like you said, they've been a little sputtering a little bit lately. The Orlando thing really bothered me. Like, I think Orlando's young and they're going to be maybe good in the future, but I'm like, guys, come on. You lost 2 to Orlando? Not cute. Not cute.
Yeah, no, I hear you. That's why they were fifth for me. All right. Well, tied for third in a sense. My number two team is going to be your number one team. My number two team is the Cavaliers.
That is my number one team.
I know my Jerron Hector very well. Understandably so. They've been doing it all season.
Beat the Celtics twice and the Bucks.
Yeah. I think that they've got, and Donovan's just a superstar.
Oh, my goodness.
He's every bit what he was in Utah, but he's got two Rudy Gobert's, not just one.
And
he's got a better guard teammate. Conley was good, though.
Giving effort and trying.
He's really competing. He's happy. I love when he said how overjoyed he was that he got traded to Cleveland. He really embraced that. Whether it was true or not, it was the right thing to say. And he's playing like it was truth. So they're number two for me. Number two for you is Memphis.
Of course.
Yeah.
The Grizzlies, baby.
I know you well. I've got a team that, best of three, they're winning the whole thing. If we started a tournament right now and everyone played a best of three to move on, it would be a long tournament because there's a lot of games. Who wins that?
And it's not a West team. You have no West teams in your top five.
Nope.
The only other team I could think of that we haven't mentioned is Brooklyn.
And the Brooklyn Nets. Who's beating them right now?
I mean, they're
no drama.
Listen, it's so funny how basketball can be played when you're not worrying about 98 million other things that have nothing to do with basketball.
But seriously, best of three, the whole league, I think they win the whole thing.
Well, because you're going to have Durant and Kyrie go nuclear, and it's just...
Yeah, well, KD solves all problems.
Correct.
Offensively.
Correct. He does.
And Kyrie is going to give you some things here and there. And Harris is coming a little bit. And Sumner's
and
pretty good.
Yeah,
Claxton's got some game to him
inside.
They're
doing some things.
And all of it doesn't matter because you have KD happy.
Right. He is.
He's happy.
He's just playing ball. Like he's,
isn't he just
Michael
happy?
Lee, the Washington Post, did a column on KD. It came out yesterday, I think. Spent some time with him, just talking. He's like, man, I'm just happy playing ball. Like, and he said, you know, my thing is I just want to come to the arena and play ball. That's all we're doing right now. It's just about basketball.
Yeah.
And that is the environment. We said it the other day. Keep it simple, stupid. When it's just about that is thrive time for him.
I didn't understand why he was in the game in the fourth quarter of a 30-point blowout. And then I thought, oh, I'm sure he just looked at his coach and said, dude, like, I need to get more running, man. I don't think it's about stats. I don't think he cares about that. I don't think he likes to hoop.
No, he didn't play in the fourth at all. He played
he got a little bit in the fourth.
He played the full third. He played the full third. And then sat the fourth.
It was late in the game, but it was a blowout. The game was over.
He played the full third. He played his normal.
What is he doing?
He played his normal first and third quarter minutes, which is the full quarter.
Yeah.
He played less than he normally does in the second. He played only like 5 minutes in the second because they were killing him. But he wanted to get his run in, And then fourth, they were just hanging out.
Yeah, I saw him. I had four games on the same time, so I must have missed the quarter. But I definitely remember thinking, why is he in the game? This game's over.
Everybody, we were like, Jacques, let's pull the plug on this, shall we?
That's KD. he's going to do his thing. So I'm really happy to see that. And
no,
I hope
it's good for them.
I saw Kyrie laughing after the game. He obviously wasn't playing.
Yeah.
I wish he would embrace the idea of normalcy. Let's just not say crazy, stupid things.
Just focus on ball, man.
Let's be a good teammate. Which he often is.
Yeah.
He's definitely a passer. He's, he's not always a great teammate, but he's always a willing passer. So I got the Brooklyn Nets from nowhere to number one for me right now.
Friday will be an interesting test for them. Milwaukee at home in Brooklyn. So that'll be a game. I'll be very curious to see how they come out and how they compete, right? Because let's be real. These 8 wins have been against teams that have been not great, right? So You got to beat whoever's in front of you. So no shade in your record. It is what it is.
Yeah.
But okay, this is a real team now. What are you going to do against a real team? We shall see.
Right.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Have a great, awesome holiday if you're celebrating. If not, I hope you can enjoy some downtime, some time to reflect on the year of 2022, what you want to do in 2023. Hopefully, set some goals and dreams. Hopefully they come true for you.
When are we back? Was Monday?
We are back probably that Monday. So the 2nd, January 2nd. Okay. That sounds about right. We're back on the 2nd.
Yeah.
I'll be back. I'll be around then. Yeah. So we'll be back then, everybody. Enjoy the basketball. Enjoy time with your friends and loved ones if you're able to do that. And we will see you guys in 2023. Take care.